Just this one.
Yeah,
how old were you during the Depression?
Huh?
How old were you during the Depression last year?
31.
31 during the Depression.
61 years ago.
Yeah. Something like that, yeah. Seems like a long time.
Yeah.
What was your job?
Well, I didn't have a job. My husband and I, we took up land down here on the valley to market gardens.
Yeah.
And, there was quite a crowd of people there. I think there might have been about 100 settlers there that took up land, you know, and it just belonged to, it was under the government closer settlement scheme. And we were buying it, you see. And we had money and our staff to buy seed, you know, and all that sort of thing. We did that. And this was in 1928. And first year we were there, of course, we grew wonderful vegetables. 15 acres we had, but we didn't have it all under cultivation. But we grew lovely vegetables, and the Depression hit us, and we couldn't sell it. Couldn't sell anything.
Couldn't sell it. Well, that's fruit and vegetables all your way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vegetables for the vegetable garden. They were all vegetable farmers down there. That's what the ground was opened up for. We had a wonderful water system. We needed water and the prospect looked wonderful to us. And we could work hard on the land, and we had to send our produce to the Victoria Market in Melbourne. And we didn't have a truck, and we had to pay a man to cart it down there. Well, nobody bought it. Well, they didn't buy much anyhow, but most of them didn't buy any. Nobody had any money. Would any of your people know anything about that, about the terrible depression when men were out of work and couldn't get work? People had to walk off their land because they couldn't pay for it. And so the first year we were there, our hopes were dashed. And we thought we'd try and stay on and try something else. So we didn't buy some cows. My father-in-law owned a farm up in the Mallee, and he sent us down 6-7 cows, and we thought we'd try dairying on it before we give it up. And that meant that we had to subdivide it, you know, with fencing and build a cow shed and a dairy and all that. And so I went out to work sewing. Women could get jobs
in
the shops.
Yeah.
Because the shops still carried on. And I did dressmaking and home furnishings, which I was quite capable of doing. And that was the only money that came into the place, was what I earned.
So you were the main money earner in the house?
The pub?
You were the main breadwinner in the
house.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. I had two sons. Six and eight. And I said, well, I'm not going to sit down and let them starve. And I wanted to get my lawyer education. So I worked for 7 years, went out to work for 7 years. And in the meantime, because the pressure was put on us, you know, to pay for the water, pay for the place, and we couldn't. All we could do was just exist, you know, on what I earned. It was pretty hard. Men weren't good at work anywhere.
At the work, yeah. So was unemployment generally quite high in this area?
Yes.
It was.
Government sent round their supervisors to interviews to see what we were doing and whether we could better ourselves. And I said, well, as far as I'm concerned, I said, I can't work any harder than I am. I said, just to get our living, we can't possibly pay for the place at all. So they said, you'll have to get off it. Well, I said, I guess I will. Anyhow, in the meantime, you know Lord Casey's place up there?
Yeah, I've been up there to have a look at it.
Yes, well, that was 54 years ago. They asked me, would I go up there and do some home furnishings? And so I went up there, and when they understood that, Mrs. Casey understood our circumstances, And I told her we had to get off the land and we didn't know where we were going to go, what to do. And she said, well, then would you like to come and live here in the old homestead? Did you see the old homestead?
The old cottage at the back of the place.
The brick place.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We went there 54 years ago. And that saved us.
So you're lucky in that aspect.
We were lucky, weren't we, to get something like that offered.
And what did your husband do once you...
Well, in the meantime, of course, they knew about him, and another fortunate thing happened. Unfortunately for some people, the gardener had a very bad accident.
Oh, right.
And they only had the one gardener, and the men on the place, they still had some men working on the place, but they'd been there, you know, permanent. So they weren't troubled at all about the unemployment, as far as I know. So they gave my husband the job of being the gardener. And we stayed 20 years.
20 years. Pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. But a lot of things went with the job. The pay was very small.
Yeah.
But we had the house for nothing. We had electricity for nothing. And we were allowed to bring up one of the cows with us, the house cow. Yeah. And I went into the market with the auctioneers and sold the rest of the cows we had. And we had a lot of fowls too. We had an incubator and we had fowls. We didn't actually starve.
Yeah.
I mean, so we had vegetables, yes. Because every one of us all that was down there all ran into debt. We all owed money to the groceries.
Yeah.
Because not enough money to go around.
What were prices generally like?
Well, the prices were, of course, much cheaper than they are today. As you know, everything's gone up and up.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, if you had to buy a feed for your horse, which we had for the ploughing, and buy a feed for the fowls and anything like that, we couldn't let them starve, and so we had to run out of debt. We got credit up to $100. I owed $100, which I couldn't pay then because all the money I was earning was keeping us in food, except for, you know, what we got from the grocery. We had to have buy meat. Sometimes we cooked chook or chicken or something. But they were very good with the grocers. They were all very kind, and so were the Berwick people. They were very sorry for us all. Some of the retired farmers, you know, that had made their money, pioneers of this land, they were in a good financial state, and I saved for them, so they were the people that had the money that could afford to pay me to save for them.
So everyone sort of helped each other, the people that had jobs and
could
afford it, helped the people that couldn't.
Well, yes. They were good, as far as I was concerned. I don't know about other people, but most of the people that went away, lots of them down there on the settlement that owed the grocer, they did it in my fleet.
Yeah, read about those in the markets.
But I didn't. I still worked on hard, and after we got to Edmonton up there, and I still was doing some sewing. I wasn't part of the staff, I was just there for a house, a roof over their head, and if they wanted any more sewing done, I was there available. And my husband, of course, he did the garden for a while till the gardener that had an accident came back, and then he did all this ploughing and the sheep and the cattle running on this property where all these units are today.
Because this was all part of Berwick and...
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So grown a lot, Berwick, then, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Berwick's grown a lot, then, hasn't it?
Oh, yes. I don't know whether you've heard, but in 1928, they didn't even have electricity in Berwick up here. That all came after them. It was a very just little rural country town.
Yeah, but how many people roughly were there in the area?
Well, I wouldn't know, but there were several grocers. There was all the shops, all little old funny little shops up the main street, and now they're all modern and big ones, and the old houses are pulled down.
That's right.
And I used to have some papers of them that I haven't got now. You used to have to walk up a step or two if you wanted to go into one of the little shops, like the boot mender, and there's only one shop, I think it's there, and that's SSW now. Where SSW is, used to belong to a Mr. Paternoster, and that was the best big shop
That was sort of like the big grocery shop, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a grocery shop. Yeah. And of course, in those days, like, you didn't have any packaged biscuits and things like we do today.
No.
You just used to say, somebody behind the counter, you say, I'll have a few of those in biscuits and what have you. Oh, I think of the day, we have to pay for all this packaging.
Right.
And of course, things were much cheaper than when they just had them in the tins and, you know, they had to pay and pull out of this one, that one, and weighed it.
And they couldn't probably be able to afford the packaging and stuff back then, was that? During the Depression?
Yeah, there's no packaging that I know of in the Depression.
Things have changed a lot.
Oh, it's a different world, actually.
What about any friends you had?
Yes, I made a lot of friends. Going into people's homes to sew, I used to go into their homes to sew. I even did mending of linen. And of course, I took it home. I managed to get the phone on down there. And that came in handy because people could bring me down and ask me could I do something, and they'd come out and bring me the goods out for me to sew. And I worked 12 hours a day many a time. Up to all hours of night, getting the things finished for the clients.
Were they all done by hand, or?
Oh, no, I had a machine, of course. I had a treadle machine. And before I was married, I lived on a farm up north in the Mallee, when we first got married. And because I was used to animals and horses, and I had a pony up there. So my husband bought me a pony. I couldn't afford a pony after a while, and a ginger. And he went all the way to Melbourne to get that for me, with my money. You see, where my money was going, it was going out for the things we needed.
Yeah.
Well, to have a pony and ginger, that means I could go around to all my customers. I couldn't possibly walk to all of them. So I'd feed my pony, because that's part of the debt, buy feed for the pony. And, things got easier when my husband got a job up there, but he only got £2 a week.
Mm.
But the house went with it, and I was like,
yes,
inside things, you know, benefits, electricity for nothing. They allowed us to plant one of our own cows, and so we put this house down, and then my family, and they allowed me to run that up there and everything. Oh, they were wonderful people, Casey's. Really wonderful.
I've heard that they were really good to people in trouble.
Yes. They treated me and my husband like one of their family. They really did.
What about other friends? Do you have any other friends?
Oh yes, I've seen my friends. A lot of friends. Amazing, you know, how that passed on. Most of my friends that are around my age group now, they've just passed on.
Yeah.
Some of them have left and most of them have died. But I've still got their children who have grown up and got families of their own, and I've got one that comes here. She was here yesterday. Two of them were here yesterday, and her husband. She was one of the maids that took the lady places, and she's kept in touch with me.
Were they badly affected at all by the Depression?
Oh, they were only children then.
Only children, so...
So they don't know much about it.
They don't know much about it at all.
No. She said Maisie's a mate. Well, of course, they were going to school. Children weren't affected by it because you don't worry your children about finance, you know.
That's right.
It's bad enough to just send them off to school and keep them dressed. And,
and
of course, my younger son, he got a very good education, and I wanted him to have a good education because he was very clever, very clever cat. But he's been in the Air Force during the war, they both in the war. If it hadn't been for me working, I don't know where we would have been.
They would have probably had to have left school had you not been working.
Well, my husband did so, and I sent Brian, the younger one, off to high school, just to catch the train down here and go to high school. But the government gave them free education in those days, and then the ones that were hired up.
Right.
So I don't know what they do today, but we just had to buy his books.
Mm.
Well, Mrs. Tracy, she wasn't a lady then, he wasn't Lord Tracy then, that was just Mr. and Mrs. Tracy. But you know, he was Governor General.
Yeah.
Right? And she said to me one day, she said, don't let your boy leave high school. It's a pity, you know. for taking away just because, you know, the finances are down. So she wrote out a cheque, and not everybody knows this. She wrote out a cheque and to him, my son, well, a boy at high school, for used books, for to keep on at school. We got free rail, tickets, you know, for the boys going to school.
No, I bet you don't go to school. Not
Dandenong High.
Dandenong High, there was no high school here at that stage.
Oh, no.
No.
I went to school in Berwick, you know, the
primary school. Once there wasn't a school here, so they had to go to Dandenong.
Oh, yes, no schools around here in secondary school. Dandenong was the only one. Well, when I went, you know, when he had to leave school when he was 12, I couldn't teach him anymore. And you have to get them somewhere. So I went down to Caulfield, with Caulfield Tech, to see if I could get him in there, and they said there was no hope of getting him in there. I went outside and sat on the grass and had a cry. I was so disappointed.
Yeah.
So I had to think of somewhere else, and I thought, well, I'll go up to Dandenong and see if I can get him in the high school. I told the principal of the high school that my uncle was a high school coach. He said, what's his name? And I told him, oh, he said he told me. My uncle, you see. And he said, perhaps your son would like to be a school teacher. Well, I said, I don't know what he wants to be. He's too young yet, I think, to know what he wants.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I'll go up and speak to him up in his class and ask him what he thinks about being a school teacher. It's in my family. And he came back and he said, oh, yes, he said he'd be a school teacher. Because by the time we left Edmonton, 30 years, we'd saved up quite a lot of money with me earning and him earning. And we bought a block of land in Richmond Street and built a house. And we had our own house and everything was paid for when we went in. Just think of that, after the terrible depression, how we rose up out of it.
You'd actually saved up enough just to pay straight out of the house.
Paid it, yes, every bit of it. And
incredible.
So I had it.